Good evening.
Good evening.
And a warm welcome to the church service this evening. We pray. We begin this time of worship. We'll sing to God's praise by singing from Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and the last two verses of the psalm in Gaelic. Be still and know that I am God. Among the heathen I will be exalted. I on earth will be exalted high. Our God, who is the Lord of hosts, is still upon our side. The God of Jacob, our refuge, forever will abide. We'll sing these two verses of Psalm 46 in Gaelic. Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. And then after that, Farrakhar will lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
Grash per naith agus olivianiste. Ghi was a lahawan tanyanet kani shiriak. Ghi a chruish sigalav nesuhil. Snehulini hafechinach agus no echinach. Ghi eva kante de shenahes o hiriak. agus chríolaíoch agus i dealah sinne na ionbhaid héin. In dhéú thugáin ar bethe agus a héad anall na bethe nó ar caiidan. Tá sinne dhéobh gráis par a tine daanais i d nescarsa, agus sin chomáchail i d néim do lábhais de thacain, is chuideach agus cáinach is spirit náam. As sé go fhéideneach de spirit thén hatal gar beochach, hanyal tedebe it bean gain am zinyal. Svashin ya shayin yak tashach gar nerech konda di chel. Be of saav achos tegev gar emi gya. Skibbe mitye gadevin ya stalta igus a tegshin gwa lusa ar gya konda din. Gada yawlu hen farabilin gyish na trood krain na danam. Gwelusa asibyan a chume bi bianach. Skat nachal shinya ka tenh kent le a sulun na dara ka yag tre hulun kretjev. Ha isa kent gwelu asibyan e dair te yalag. Sa shinya ka tamalag e da naich anoch. Gwefud shinya kent le da nach e yonsi rohi chahat na graas. Hóm agus go fean sin trochgad agus go namas sin iad grás a chum cóid a na nám ar féim. A sin a gaite chu chrúi a bhianiste na hrannaineach peachgí agus go do chuidir peachgí an gealachu iad a sinne agus tú héin. Sgu do gón sin an héin, daras agus slia ga tionsi, ach malach go brach a bhí ga danam. Nu de wouse i de graun, ugus u glöich e mach le gu aast, goro ek tiocht nischte, goro nopa du hukend haad gucht, goro i gishal, snachro niet bia gaha kudia, snachro niet bian, ugaha tosht buhipa, reepa go chele, bracht rein in chaumpel, a muloch gu heachgar. Sint liya va shinja de gune gorn hen, vai nesha foskiltje, agus cuidigin agin i hén le dánach gadion si hén. Smolag i bhugúch de hirnu gafhúd sin i tén, ag uad si bí id aiche na lá. Sgabal na lain chin gadion si hén fosgirte ag a chula haun, gada bhug ni milian an if higand hughil a glúich dhúcht ag an an anáun, hau sa clíndins hau gaisteach, agus bedú fracrach na te yo am fein. Asinia gata mollo go chrui a grash paro shan a reinyo gain, agus na hau tiana gain. Chuchu chu hen lain a noastra na bleolichan, yagan gorig a nuot agus an tamsa, agus kond di an ele gafuchin a ra kuchach, mar a bil goro di hova lain, gar kuchachu le boi. Speak nach roer nanem boch, gut hastach am zun oi. Asin ega te wandelge je graas bada schon. Uli chien de spirits, traurige de spirits heids, gul u heen af thiale gaur, gut chiemal, gut hemmeschedal, ugus gut spiritual. Asin ega gatiach gastonisch heen, nach uringunje niese bihe jane. Ach, nid ewes du se konde ding an de perse spirit naam, genoring in de hulle nich in de jene, triet ee se kreeste, hagaar njastach ou skar kom al soos. Aschen gat de waluge de neiche noch geschon, de waas het kraun cheese kalveri, ewes tasse di lor war an de midde, gwelu se bio an de berg en chan kun chrie, agus gwylw iogyn y gyfwm yn tro hen y gyda'r lle, gwyio at yr llenia. Agus dw hen y thialw gorn, le dy spirit. Sa sy'n y gwrn i gyfyd gachan ac yn mochal, y dyla hydach fianych gy hen i fi gair cwrstach. Agus gyfyd dw hen y gael aslain fyd yr son. Nis ac y ten o'ch rhywi a fianych gy i neim dyla fyrst y hyd gachan ac yn orst. Sy'n yw gwrn i gybydw hen, gyr nyastach, sgyr mysnach, a nid olyf i edwrst, ceim et cheim, cond ydwch te, Ishid Amberkduce, a Hanatichanast, Ulisnetter Kriachnachi, Eder Kretjev, Vaunele Gra, Kogionsi Elenuring in the Gold, Achationsi Hene Vang, Ekeverbrieren, Nepehe Madanich, Schnukoni Elenachano, Koshon Huletunje, Nachel Geforstenach Sahashing Hain, Nedeljakashias, Es Jachpanen Chinish, Es Triplet, Hat ektachis, hat an an hospital, hat an an dachien kurum, hasch in je graas, bar kinokut heen lo, hasch in an anamach nörktiach in estoi, sei sagat, es kachan, hasch in je goni den son, sasch in je goni kibutulam, leves, schenk je mach ganyonsi, ögis akashik slan je ganyiv, hof hat es a haschende der teron, ögis de hal, vianisch je heen, Schnuckoni schon liech in es Banaltrömen. Jöges hulle tenelle göte gewifjachen, de jeves a hostschachet. Jöges gebetu heen, a klachken es gillen, a hukugaiv, gewikaschig slantje. Bekeinach gönne keulichen, a göte gewifo emmichescht, et ska, jöges gewerluch gegraul, jöges graag, el jökalschies. Gebetu heen gabianach, ögis gebetu kutjach, sesedevach uloa, an an aume feem. Keinich hasch nukoni duch des luch, kachriev dischte, bruchte geslohnt, hat chulian varaun, as ne lehen, sas ne schachkajen, heder kuluch, jagai ne plionichen, heder golschachet. Ne de göten, ne lochten, ne krachten, evich hasch gefaskelt, des wat dir. Auge wird du so ein Gras für ein Kar, ein Soos gefeichtlich, gach knähte Horre, öges Lohn, öges gedehne du den Sohn, fette Foskin, nachher nur Kommissne, ihr in das Moanjache, nach und nach der Lache, als ihr Gorn ihr schon noch hohle Dünne hahast, ist tewe Munde Krau, aha Munde Bjaunten, vor den Chachren, gön Gier, gön Doches, Hat down a hirn an ogri hnu shugas ivyan la. Hat nur tachis, hat nur chowli. Hat nur skidens, hat down go imala don bod. Sash nyo gorni an gras fa gadada tussa. De vich gachéns gadada tu danianan, och diach an a talabin. Ska fengt mit nichen moore gus yantach adigianag. An a nanam talan a nuva, iasa kriasta. Ne van het jeske belasse roomjeug graag gewisat van jokkel in jouwag. Han ik wisse stjach gewis ne toschen toontje. Gewis hou komen zich het kine stjach aan den kriegen toontje maar in kentne. Zou komen zich het wie koprige gehevigig aan den kriegen zijn een anem aan de schut zijn een scho. Gewisse nie ha ee komen zich aan een dunje jenig. Hij komen zich goed ze. Zij zijn nog niet gevechtig met drieën gekennig en gekomacht. Niet een klaar waar de jenen naar dan aan. Ook is toch heen het daarstig is het ook al zoos. Zij nog niet gebeurde dat ze maar gaan als maar schiedes, maar loog. Zij gaat de wanlige heren als een gekennig als ze haar woorden. Zij maar de hou heen of ze alle gaan. Ook is het jenen met haar zon. Niet een jantig. Gorni is een jachke de goede was er keen en een nieken noob. Gorni kebianische toe, en de gachi is niet heulig. Als een hoopen, uwes negolle machs niet hachke stjach. En de mis ne treed de hukugadi en ultrug. Ook de doga en een nieuw baas voor margoes. Als een toerstel gahuhid, uwes gadochkel heen, uwes gadover. Zo goede jachke de la hakke dat dolle mach. Dus je schelen voor je even nog. Zijn je koning gevecht gehad. Kinjach in je kinnet rijjach. Schiel maar een rijjach gehad ook hoor. Er heb je nog. Ik was toch heen nog rijjach graag voor het oorste paas. Na daum ma, ik was oorzel heen. Bijna zijn je neus nog konden die hele. Bij heen het alle huisjach gaan, maar het brist in het slee. Smaar in kies en haar komen zich en een hulle niet in de gegeen koekdien. Maar ik ging jou. Feemorn, bij de lat hasch gorn, amskach keem, jaldre horn, jasch nu gorn, je doet die jaldre klant te gnoos. agus bigar nóluch a pachant, na gaute ge biad hasach gór, dian agus gléis in van hain agus nabil in thádor, glantin anabil cáladin, dem tráach gait edar nanaman bochga, agus magin go grás var ar nula fiachgian, sna hula ar skach diast. Amen.
Amen. We sing again to God's praise. Mission Praise 31, the words on the screen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If we could turn, please, to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Just towards the end of the Old Testament, for those who are flicking through the pages of a Bible. Habakkuk chapter 2, and we'll read the whole of this chapter. You remember from last week, those who were here, that Habakkuk, he is burdened for his people, the nation of Israel, and he prays, essentially he prays for revival. He asks that God will move again, that he'll hear the complaint about the state of the nation. And then the answer comes from God, which is an answer that's alarming to Habakkuk, that God's going to use another nation to bring a whole lot of difficult things into their experience, which will ultimately bring them back to God. And Habakkuk, he's processing this. He's coming to terms with the fact that God is sovereign, that he's working, even in the storms, even in the hard times. And he realizes that, he accepts that, but he's still wrestling. He's wrestling with God in prayer because it's hard to live in the world that he's living, where he sees violence and injustice all kinds of difficult things. He knows God's in control, and he's asking God to be at work. And so Habakkuk, at the end of chapter 1 into the beginning of chapter 2, says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, that's God, will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then we have the Lord's answer in verse 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest, because he is as greedy as the grave. And like death, is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion? How long must this go on? Will not your debtors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their victim. Because you have plundered many nations, the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain, to set his nest on high, to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The stones of the wall cry out, will cry out. And the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming round to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you, for you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Of what value is an idol since a man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. We'll sing again now to God's praise from Mission Praise 674. There is a green hill far away without a city wall where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Well, if you could turn back to Habakkuk chapter 2, please. As we go there, we'll pray. And can I just again prompt you to keep on praying for Shona? A little more news in the course of the day, which isn't the best news. She has an infection that they need to wait 24 hours to see exactly what bacteria it is. They think it's meningitis. They're also going to have to change the drain into her head over the next few days when she's strong enough. So it's been a hard day for her. She's been moved from the ward into, Jamie was telling me, it's intensive care. I'm not sure whether that was because it was necessary or whether there wasn't a bed in HDU. But she's struggling a bit more so today. So let's keep praying for her over the next few days. And let's pray just now. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for this book of prophecy, this mysterious man, Habakkuk, that we know so little about. And yet we thank you that the message that was given to him, the prayer that was given to him, is a prayer, and it's a message that very much applies still to us today. We know to differing degrees what it's like to live through stormy times. Sometimes that's in our own personal experience, and sometimes, and especially at this time, we are conscious it's the state of our nation. And so, Lord, we thank you that you guide us and you lead us, you direct us, you teach us how to pray in the midst of these times. And Lord, we thank you for the clear revelation in this book that you are the God who is still in control, the God who is always working out your purposes. You are the God who hears the prayers of your people and who loves to show to us mercy and grace as we cry out to you for it. We thank you, Lord, that your call upon our life is not a call where we are forced to follow a legal code in order to achieve a standard high enough to qualify ourselves for your presence. We know that we could never, by our own efforts, do such a thing. We are sinners, and you are the God who is holy, holy, holy. But we thank you that you have condescended to us. We thank you that you deal with us in mercy and with patience. We thank you that we are made righteous, not by our works, but by faith in Jesus. We thank you for his finished work, his redeeming work that we have sung on. That green hill far away, that cross where the Saviour hung for us. And we thank you that when we believe in him, we have the assurance that we have sin forgiven and life that is eternal. And Lord, we thank you also that we have these promises in your word, that you care for us and that you watch over us and you help us and you hear us and respond to us as we pray, not just for ourselves but for others, and we pray on for Shona. We ask, Lord, that as she struggles a little today, that she would know your hand upon her, that she would sense the prayers of your people as well. We can think back to times in our own lives where all was stormy in our experience, and yet we were aware of a calm and a sense of being held up by you and the prayers of your people. And so help us to be faithful in prayer for Shona, and help us to keep on bringing her to you. We ask, Lord, that you would protect her. We pray that this infection would be driven back. We pray that what needs to happen in terms of the changing of the drain would be possible. We pray that our strength would increase. And we pray for our healing, Lord, if that be your will. We ask, Father, that in the midst of everything, that she and the family with her would know your presence, your peace, and your hand upon them. So hear our prayers. And as we open your word now and study it, we pray that you would help us, that you would open our eyes, unblock our ears, clear our cluttered minds, cleanse us from the sin of our hearts, empty us of self, fill us with the Holy Spirit, and enable us to be those who are expectantly waiting to hear your voice, as your servant Habakkuk was. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Sometimes we find ourselves writing a letter or sending an email. And if we are honest, although we send the email or write the letter, we don't always expect to get a reply. Sometimes we write a letter maybe to a VIP, to a celebrity, a fan letter. Maybe that's something that's been done by some of the younger ones, I don't know. Or maybe when we're a bit older and we're frustrated with the bins and the frequency that they're getting emptied or whatever, we write a letter to an official, an MSP or somebody in local office that has some kind of influence. And we put the words together, we make our request, but we don't really expect to hear anything back. You know, we would love to get a response, but we don't expect a response. We're not waiting expectantly for the postman to deliver a letter, or we're not checking every few hours in our inbox to see if there's an email that's dropped in response to the letter or the application or the form that we submitted. And sometimes when we pray, we can pray without expectation. Sometimes when we pray, we put the words together and we express our desire to God to see people saved or to see people helped. But there can be times when we pray when perhaps we don't expect these prayers to have impact. And the reason we know that is because we're not really looking for, we're not really expecting, we're not really waiting for the answer. Habakkuk, in this letter, he teaches us to pray with expectation, and he teaches us to watch and to wait for the answer that God will give. So the first point this evening is, as we look in Habakkuk in verse 1, we see the watching, waiting prophet. Habakkuk says in verse 1, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. So that's Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Now, if we rewind a little to Habakkuk chapter 1, we can see there in the verses that Habakkuk, he's prayed at length, and he's prayed with great fervor, with great earnestness. He's laid out before the Lord all the things that burden him. And the burden that Habakkuk felt that he was praying in response to was a burden that God himself had given to him. So Habakkuk, he's opened up the newspaper in the morning. He's flicked through the Sky News app. He's seen all the stories, all the things that distress him. And he's laid out all these bad news stories before the Lord. He's asked the Lord to intervene. And now he's waiting. And he's watching. And he's expecting an answer. So the first lesson for us in application tonight is that straightforward lesson that runs all the way through this book. And that's, it's a lesson regarding prayer. When we pray, let's pray believing. When we pray, whether it's that personal prayer in the private place or the prayer as we come together corporately week by week, let's pray believing that God is hearing, that he will respond. Let's be those who are watching and waiting and expecting his answer. It might be that some of us here, we've been praying for a loved one, for their salvation for a long time. And with Habakkuk, we're at the stage where we've gone from praying almost to screaming on the inside, saying, how long is it going to be, Lord? Or maybe we're conscious of a prodigal. Someone who once walked close with God and now is at a distance. Someone whose heart once was warm and who were so full of zeal and now they're cold and cool and distant from God. And we're praying for them. And they're still far away. Or maybe we're thinking about situations that are complicated and that grieve us and we can't see a solution to. And we're praying and we're praying and we're praying and we're bringing the people, we're bringing the situations to God in prayer and we still can't see an answer. Well, Habakkuk teaches us to keep on praying and to keep on believing and to keep on expecting and looking for the Lord to answer. See, when we're not expectant, when we're not watching and waiting, as Habakkuk was, when we're not on our toes, spiritually speaking, then we're not alert to what God is doing. And we're not ready to take the opportunities that God may give us to be involved in the answer. He may want us to share Christ with the people that we're praying for. He may want us to be involved in the situations that we're praying about. So as we pray and as we watch in providence to see how God is responding, let's be on our toes. Let's look at the posture of Habakkuk. He's not sitting in an armchair. He's not stationary. He hasn't got his feet up on the table. He is standing at his watch because he is watching, he is waiting, he is expecting God to answer. And he's ready to be involved in whatever it is that the Lord would have him do. So keep praying, keep watching, keep waiting, keep expecting, says Habakkuk. So we see the watching, waiting prophet. That's the first point. The second thing that we can note here is the watchtower. Because we see the attitude, we see the inner mindset, the heart condition of Habakkuk, but we're also told his location. We see where he is. And in verse 1, Habakkuk, he's speaking about a place, a physical location, a station. And he's positioned himself in this station, spiritually speaking, as he waits upon the Lord. He says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. We'll see a little more about what that looked like in these times in a moment. But sometimes it can be helpful to have a particular place, a routine, a location even where we day by day go to be with the Lord, to wait upon Him, to speak to Him in prayer, to listen to Him. Jesus in Matthew 6, He speaks about the closet, that place where we go in and close the door on the world to be with the Lord. Jesus, he often took his disciples onto the boat. Mark 4 is the place, I think, where we see the boat. And Jesus, he often took his disciples off dry land where the crowds were to be in the boat so they could be alone with him. I remember Fergus Robertson, the minister that I was training under at the very beginning of my Church of Scotland training, and he used to, every Saturday, before he would preach, he would head off up the hill. You wouldn't get him to answer the phone, you wouldn't find him in his manse. He was up on the slocht with his dog and his sermon. and he was praying, and he was reading, and he was being with the Lord in preparation to preach. It's always where you'd find him. And Habakkuk, he seems to be doing something of that nature. He's prayed. He's anticipating the answer that will come from the Lord. He's expecting that the Lord will have something to say to him that he will in turn have to pass on to the people. And so he says, I'm leaving the office, I'm leaving the house, I'm getting away from all the distractions, and I'm going to the watchtower. Warren Wiersbe, the commentator, says, the prophet saw himself as a watchman on the walls of Jerusalem, waiting for a message from God that he could share with the people. In ancient days, the watchmen were responsible to warn the city of approaching danger, and if they weren't faithful, their hands would be stained with the blood of the people who died. So being a watchman, being in the watchtower, says Wiersbe, it was a serious responsibility. That's where Habakkuk is. Now, today when we think about risk and danger, we have people who are still watching. We have people who are employed by the nation who are still watching. We have people in military intelligence who watch coastlines for the danger of attack. Others who are looking at radars and who are scanning the skies to see if there is impending risk. We have people who monitor internet traffic to see if there's attack that's coming from a cyber angle. And in Old Testament times, cities were enclosed by walls, high walls, for protection. And when there was the risk of danger, when there was a possibility of impending attack, watchmen would be posted on the city wall on the watchtower. And they had to warn for any danger that they could see on the horizon. And in the spiritual sense, that's what Habakkuk was doing. He's already burdened by the state of the nation. He knows that there is impending danger coming from Babylon, and so he's on the watchtower. That's where he is. So what's the lesson for us in application? Well, I think the lesson for us is that we're to be alert. We're to be in the watchtower. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 26 and verse 41. He said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's a lesson for Peter, actually, in Gethsemane. A lesson that he was slow to learn because he didn't watch, he didn't pray, and he did fall. And then years later, as Peter writes a letter to us that we're coming to in a couple of weeks' time, he says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. So we see Habakkuk, the watching, waiting prophet. We see where he's positioned. He's on the watchtower. He is alert. He is watching. He is waiting. And the third thing we see is that Habakkuk, he's given a word to deliver. He's given a word to deliver. Verses 2 and 3. Then the Lord replied, remember Habakkuk, he's there, he's watching, he's waiting, his ears are open. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So Habakkuk, he's given a word to deliver. But first of all, notice in verse 2 that Habakkuk, he receives the word. And it's God's word. And God simply gives him the word. Habakkuk, he's not a co-writer in this. This is a word that it's from God. It's not the result of some mystical dialogue. God reveals his word. Habakkuk's task is to receive it and to make it plain and to pass it on to heralds. He'll run with it. And again, going back in time to the whole picture of the watchman, that was their job. The watchman waits. He sees the threat. And when he sees the threat, he tells the herald plainly, so that the herald can then go to the people and let them know how they're to act and react. So there's the picture. God gives his word to Habakkuk. And Habakkuk receives it, he believes it, he passes it on so that the people can act upon it. And we have the same task. All these years later, we have the same task. We have received God's word. Not in the same way that Habakkuk received it. We haven't received God's word directly. We haven't heard it, an audible voice in our own ears. But we have the word through the apostles and the prophets in the Bible. And just as Habakkuk wasn't to interfere with the word or add to it or take away from it or edit it or tone it down or ham it up, we have to follow his lead. All these years later, in a culture that admittedly is not very tolerant of God's word, we have to follow Habakkuk's lead. The Bible is God's word. And our place is to receive it and to believe it and to run into the world like heralds and tell people plainly the truth of it. So would there be wholesale acceptance of the word that Habakkuk is given to receive and to deliver? Well, there wouldn't be wholesale acceptance. And that much is made clear to Habakkuk in verse 3. God tells Habakkuk that this is a word that it wouldn't be revealed immediately. It wouldn't immediately come to pass, the things that were being told to him. And so as time passed, some who heard Habakkuk preaching and speaking would be saying to Habakkuk, "Habakkuk, all this stuff you're saying, I don't see any of this stuff happening. All this danger, all this risk, all this invasion that you're getting so hot and bothered about, none of this is happening." Some people would have regarded Habakkuk as he preached these messages that God gave him. They would have said, "Habakkuk is just a crank. He's a crazy person. He's lost his mind. Nothing that he says is coming true." But God says to Habakkuk, "My word, it will not prove false," verse 3. So don't stray from it. Stick to it. And wait for it to come to pass. And that word to him is also a word for us. As we deliver God's word, not necessarily from a pulpit, but in our workplaces, amongst our families, in our friendship groups, as we deliver God's word, as we tell people about Jesus, then we're going to need perseverance. We're going to need patience. We're going to need backbone. Because there's many people who will still say, and who are still saying today, "You're a crazy person if you believe this gospel in this day and age. Why are you talking about Jesus? We don't want to hear about Jesus. Why do you keep going about this cross? All these things that allegedly happened 2,000 years ago. Why do you keep banging on about this stuff? Why are you talking about this? Why are you telling us about Jesus living and dying and rising and returning? Where is he? 2,000 years have passed. Where is he? There is no shortage of people who will say to us, Jesus is not coming back. There is no heaven. There is no hell. There's nothing. The word you're telling me is nonsense. As Gordon and others visited over in US this week past and on mission, that was a response that they heard many times. What do you think happens when you die? Nothing. There's just nothing. And the whole gospel is swept aside. And as we face that time after time, the temptation for us is either to edit the message so it's a little more palatable for the culture, or just to go silent and stop being a herald. That's the temptation. But Habakkuk teaches us to deliver the word of God. Habakkuk teaches us to tell people about Jesus and the need to trust. Tell people about eternity. That this is not all there is. And that when we die, there's not nothing, there is something. There is either heaven or hell. And if we want to get to heaven, we have to believe in Jesus. And if we don't believe in Jesus, hell is the place that we have been warned about, that we will find ourselves in. Tell people that word, says the Lord, even as early on here in the Old Testament as through Habakkuk. He's given a word to deliver. And the principle, the message that we get here is that we also are given a word to deliver. Fourth point is that the word that Habakkuk is given to deliver is that it's a word that calls people to faith. Verses 4 and 5. In verses 4 and 5, we see a real contrast. We see the righteous and we see those who are wicked. It's an echo of Psalm 1 almost. And we see there in the verses, see, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. That's the wicked. But the righteous will live by faith. Indeed, wide betrays him. He's arrogant and never at rest, because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. And so we have this contrast here. We have the righteous and we have the wicked. And the wicked, they're puffed up. They're full of pride. They're full of self-confidence. They're arrogant. They're restless. They're full of wine. They're full of greed. They're full of violence. And God says through Habakkuk, that's not the way to live. So how are we to live? What are we called to do? And we have the answer there in verse 4. The righteous will live by faith. And that's a verse that rings bells for us. Because it's a verse that's imported into the New Testament. And we can think of it popping up in various places. Paul uses it twice. He quotes it in Romans 1:17. He quotes it in Galatians 3:11. We find it again in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. So this is a key verse. How are we made righteous? How can we be accepted by God? How can we be saved? Well, it's not by works. It's not by religion. But it's by faith. It's by faith in Jesus. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, these familiar verses. It's by grace you've been saved. Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And so God, through Habakkuk, he calls us to faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if we're saved, if we are righteous in and through what Christ has done, if we are Christians, one evidence that we are saved is that we have a desire to please God. We have a desire to live by faith. So we see all the things that are listed in these verses. Pride and greed and arrogance and violence. And we know that these are things that can rise up within our hearts. If we are Christians, if we want to please God, day by day by day by day, we put these things to death. We turn from them. We seek with God's strength to kill them. Because we want to live by faith. And in Hebrews 11, we're given a whole list of examples of people who live by faith. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Rahab, and the list goes on. And yet we know from even a short study of these lives that they were people who all failed in many ways. So the perfect example of living by faith is Jesus. And our calling is to trust him. Our calling is to try to live like him. That's what we sang. The hymn that we sang finished with these words, that we trust in his redeeming love that we see on the cross. And we try his works to do. So Habakkuk, he's the watching, waiting prophet. He is on the watchtower. He encourages us to be on the watchtower. He is given a word from God that he doesn't interfere with. He doesn't corrupt in any way. He doesn't distort. He just delivers it. And it's a word that calls God's people to live by faith. In our terms, we're believing in Jesus. And the final thing, very, very briefly, is that Habakkuk, he delivers a word that warns of judgment. And I don't have the time, and I didn't intend to go through this in depth anyway, but from verse 6 to the end, we're given a list of woes. Wiersbe says, to the faithful Jews in the land, God would be a refuge and strength. But to the godless Babylonians invading the land, he would be a judge and eventually punish their sins and give them what they deserved. In this taunt song, God pronounces woe. And so in this last section, we have a clear and serious warning of judgment for sin. So what kind of sin do we read of in these woes that we're warned of? Well, we read about pride, and we read about greed. We read about self-aggrandizement. We read about violence and idolatry and exploitation and covetousness and extortion and drunkenness. We can scan through the list of these verses. And we see all the detail of all the sins that God gives Habakkuk to list. And all I want to note about this list is how contemporary it is. And this is a letter, this is a book that's 2,700 years old. And yet everything that we read of in terms of the sins of that age still dominates our world today. We battle with these things in our own hearts. And so the word that's warning of judgment through Habakkuk still applies to us today. And we tend to think that woes are very Old Testament. But if we fast forward to the passage that we read this morning, Jesus declared woes. Immediately before he declared rest, he declared woes. He began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Matthew 11:20. Woe to you, Chorazin, he says. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. So Habakkuk delivered a word that he was given from God. And it's a word warning of judgment. And Jesus, where it was necessary, where he saw that there was resistance and not repentance, he delivered a word warning of judgment. And it may not be a popular message, but it's a necessary one. And it's a loving one. And Habakkuk teaches us to preach it. So let me finish just by saying there is grace offered to those who will receive it. Those who will live by faith. Those who will trust in Jesus. There is rest offered to those who, having felt the weariness of their sin, come to the Savior in faith and repentance. But there is the warning of eternal woe and judgment. There is the warning of hell to those who will not repent and who will not believe. So repent of sin, says God through Habakkuk. Have faith in Jesus, says God, even through Habakkuk. In Christ alone, our hope is found. We're going to sing that in a moment. And can I just ask as I finish, can you say it? Is it your experience? All of us are sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. But there is grace offered. There is salvation offered. There is rest offered to those who will repent, to those who will believe. We can come in here weary and burdened and troubled and restless and lost. And we can leave saved, secured, at peace, and knowing that when we die, we're not facing judgment because Jesus has faced it for us on that green hill far away. But we have the promise of heaven. That's the gospel. No one needs to walk out of here. No one needs to go to sleep tonight worrying about their soul. The price is paid. The work is done. Salvation is offered. Grace is available. We just have to believe, to have faith in Christ. Will you believe? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity even in these letters. We see such alarming contrast between those who are made righteous through faith. And we know that that faith is not a faith in self or a faith in faith even. It's faith in Jesus. Habakkuk is pointing us forward to Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, that he lived, he died, he rose for us. Now one day soon he will return. And all who trust in him will go to be with him eternally. And those who do not trust, those who do not repent, those who continue to ignore and resist and defy him, will be separated from him eternally. We see such alarming contrasts, but we thank you that these contrasts are there to make it clear to us so that we will not hesitate, that we won't resist, we won't put off making a decision, but that we will simply come and say to you in prayer, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me and you rose for me. Please save me. We thank you that a prayer like that, that we can put our amen to even tonight, is a prayer that saves us eternally from the judgment that we're warned of and brings us into the experience of grace, which we just taste in this world and know in full measure in the hereafter. So as the gospel is proclaimed, as that word is delivered to our own souls, give us faith, we pray, that we would believe in Jesus and be saved. And we pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen. We'll sing to finish, In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit, be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.